In a world that is becoming more digitally connected by the day, being connected to the truth of God's Word has never been more important. This is why my church exists, to meet people right where they are with the power and freedom that only comes through the Word of God. We are a fully virtual church with multiple ministries designed to make the truth of the Bible accessible to anyone. Whether it's through our website, YouTube channel, or the My Church channel, our faith-based streaming network available on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and LG TV. Our hope is to connect and grow with you. Check us out and come be a part of the My Church family today.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and welcome to the Leadership Academy, where we equip the chosen for their assignment. In each episode, I'll be sharing insight and wisdom that God has given me through my 23 years of pastoral ministry. My goal is to equip you with the tools necessary to run faster and further, helping you to avoid common pitfalls so that you can make a greater impact for the kingdom. I encourage you to share this broadcast with anyone you know who has been called to leadership, whether they are a part of the fivefold ministry or a lay leader or have some other ministry assignment. Because remember, if you're a leader, that means someone is following you. As I was praying for what God would have me to talk about during this episode of the Leadership Academy, I thought about my sons in ministry and the pastors I mentor, and how all of them have been celebrating ministry anniversaries. My son, Pastor James Hobson of Hill City Community Church in Lynchburg, just celebrated 10 years in ministry. My son, Joshua Davis, is about to celebrate 2 years in ministry. My daughter's pastor, Pastor Kendall McDowell, just celebrated 4 years in ministry. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, I was able to celebrate with Dr. T. Leon Williams and Beloved Community Church right here in the city of Charlotte, one of the pastors that I've been mentoring for over 9 years, as they moved into their building after 10 years of ministry and celebrating 10 years of ministry just a couple of weeks ago. And I thought about how many pastors that I've seen over the years that didn't make it past 3 years, that have literally packed up and thrown in the towel. But can we talk real this evening? Can we be real transparent? There's a difference between being called and being able to endure the call. Because when God calls you, it feels powerful. But when you start walking it out, it gets painful. You were excited when he spoke to you, but you didn't know the race would come with pressure, opposition, and moments where you'd have to encourage yourself. See, like David, sometimes you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. As a matter of fact, open your Bibles with me if you got your Bible handy, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to tap into this foundational scripture that we're going to talk about tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." One translation says, "the author and perfecter of our faith." It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So tonight, I came with a word for every pastor, every leader, every young man of God that God is literally raising up. And that is, run your race, young man. Run your race. Not their race. Not what you saw on Instagram. Not what works for another ministry. Run your race. You know, when I was worshiping with Beloved yesterday, Dr. Williams was sharing his testimony, and he was sharing, as he preached a powerful word yesterday, about walking into the blessings of God, or taking possession of the blessings of God. And he was just sharing the testimony of how God blessed them with the building that they're currently occupying. And he was just talking about the years of faithfulness and what it took to get there. And as he was talking about his testimony, I thought about my ministry journey. And after service, we were talking to another pastor who was there helping to celebrate. And she was talking about her ministry journey. And one of the things that we all had in common is that in birth ministry, we all started off as what some of us deem as homeless churches. You know, we had to do the setup and take down. You know, we had to pack up in our personal vehicles and take all of the equipment and everything to a space that we were renting or you know, had the privilege of sharing with someone else, and set that church up before service and then come back and tear it all down and go put that stuff somewhere else until the next week or till the next service. And that was a process of going through that, and how laborious that is, and how hard that is, and how some people never know what that feels like and never know what that is. And, you know, I went through that process for about 3 months, and God blessed us to be able to move into a building. And this other pastor was saying she did that for about a year before they moved into a more permanent location. But Dr. Williams was sharing in his testimony that they have done that for 10 years before they actually moved into this location. And so I say that so that you understand that everybody has a different race. And so you've got to run your race. The race is assigned and not chosen. I think you might want to write that down. The race is assigned and not chosen. The Bible says, let us run with patience or perseverance the race that is set before us. I like to put it like this. You got to eat what's on your plate. Oh, you better hear what I just said. You got to eat what's on your plate. Stop looking at what's on somebody else's plate. Stop looking at what somebody else has been assigned. Stop looking at somebody else's ministry. Stop looking at what somebody else has been chosen for. You got to deal with what God has given you. That word set means this thing has already been designed, measured, and approved by God specifically for you. See, you didn't stumble into ministry. God assigned you to it. Oh, can I prove it to you? Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. And look at verse 5. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. See, God said, before you got here, I already had your race mapped out. So why are you trying to run somebody else's race? See, some of you are frustrated, not because God failed you, but because you're trying to succeed in an assignment he never gave you. Oh, you better catch that. See, you're not frustrated because God failed you, but because you're trying to succeed in an assignment he never gave you. See, you're watching another pastor's growth, another ministry's numbers, another leader's influence. And God is saying that's not your race. Oh, can I help you? You better stop looking at somebody else's assignment, somebody else's call, somebody else's anointing, somebody else's gift, and start recognizing that you don't know what came with that. I was just saying this to my wife the other day. We have the privilege of sitting under, worshiping, and serving alongside to assist, to help, to hold up the arms of my daughter's pastor, Apostle Sam Wagner and Dr. Rico Wagner. And I constantly tell her how much I admire and reverence their gift. They are awesome gifts to the body of Christ. The same for my other daughter's pastors, Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. But one thing I say is, you don't know what it cost them for the anointing, for the gifts that's on their life. Apostle Sam, has a powerful, authoritative, laser-like ability to see in the spirit realm. He'll stand up and look through you. As they say, read your mail and command your life like I have not seen a lot of people do in the body of Christ. And I'm just like, ooh, that's amazing. But when you hear his testimony, some of the things that he's had to go through personally, some of the tragedies and things that he's dealt with in his personal life, I'm like, the reason he has what he has is because of how close he is to God. And part of that closeness comes out of some of the hardship that he had to deal with. One of my favorite scriptures, one of my testimony scriptures, one of the things that I tell people, you don't understand. People look at me like, Pastor, you trust God on a whole nother level. I say, yeah, you don't understand why either. The Bible says it's good that I was afflicted, otherwise I would not know God. I always tell my sons, I always tell the pastors that I mentor, if I can't teach you nothing else, I can teach you how to trust God. See, because I've been trusting God for years. See, I filed bankruptcy at 19 years old. I was living out of my car at 21. I've been dealing with chronic pain since I was 21 years old. So the things that I've had to deal with, the afflictions and the turmoil that my wife has had to deal with, the things that we've had to deal with in ministry have drawn us closer to the Lord. See, because it was good that I was afflicted, otherwise I would not know God. See, it's in those moments of affliction that you draw closer. I always say this to people. I say, the Bible tells us that it's in our weakness, it's his strength made perfect. Everybody wants to know God's strength, but nobody wants to be weak. He says he'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We want his provision, but we don't want to be in a needy place. See, it's in that affliction that we really get to know the God that we talk about. And so when you see somebody who has a relationship with God and you covet that relationship, but do you really want to go through what they went through to get to know him like they know him? That's why I say, Stop watching somebody else's growth. Stop watching somebody else's numbers. Stop watching somebody else's influence. Stop watching their gift, their anointing. Because God said that's not your race. See, you can't run with weight. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles or besets us. Notice he didn't just say sin. He said weight. Because everything that slows you down isn't sinful, but it's still dangerous. Some of you are carrying old wounds from church hurt. I'm going to pause for a minute. Because see, the reason why some people quit, some reason why people can't make it, because you're carrying stuff that you shouldn't have been carrying. The old saints used to sing a song, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You carrying stuff hurts, wounds. Because in this ministry journey, in this walk, leading, pastoring, standing in the front, you're the first one to catch fire. Sometimes you catch friendly fire from the back. You catch wounds from within the camp and without the camp. And so you can't keep carrying that stuff. You got to allow God to heal you, because otherwise you will bleed all over the folk that you're leading. Some of you are carrying the need to be validated by people. See, that's something that you really need to get rid of, because you got to recognize they didn't call you. You've got to be satisfied and settle in the fact that God is the only one that called me. God is the only one that I'm concerned about validating me. You got to stop preaching for applause. You got to stop preaching for amens. You got to stop making decisions worried about whether somebody else likes it or not. You've got to be totally sold out and settle on the fact that God said it, that settles it. He's the only one that I'm worried about saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. If nobody else ever likes what I do, if I don't ever get a like, a click, a thumbs up, a smiling emoji, if I don't ever get any of that stuff, I could care less, as long as God says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I don't need the validation of people. I have the validation of the Lord. See, we got to stop carrying assignments God told you to release. See, one of the things a couple of years ago, the end of 24, God told me that my season of preaching every week was over. And I remember my wife saying, well, how do you feel about it? I said, I don't feel anything. Because I started preaching because he told me to. I didn't start preaching because I wanted to. I didn't start preaching because I wanted people to applaud me. I didn't start preaching because I wanted to be seen. I didn't start preaching because I had an ego. I didn't start preaching because I wanted a platform. I didn't start doing any of this only because he told me to. If he didn't tell me to, I wouldn't be doing any of it. So when he tells me to stop, that's what I'm going to do. And I don't have any feelings about it either way. Because I'm only doing it for his glory, not mine. So any assignment that God told you to release, you just ought to put it down. Shouldn't be any question. Watch this. I remember my first church that I started pastoring. It was a Baptist church. I pastored a Baptist church for 3.5 years. And I remember when I went there, pastored that church, I went only because God told me to go. I didn't feel like I was qualified. But like Moses, how am I going to tell God? When God said go, I said, okay, I'll go. And God said, you'll stay there as long as I tell you to stay there. But once I got there, I started becoming attached to the people because I had a heart for God's people. I had a shepherd's heart. And so when God told me that I had to go in birth ministry, my thing was, well, what about the people? I felt like I can't just leave them. And so I was procrastinating when God told me to go birth ministry. And then I remember one day, God said, what are you doing? And I mean, what do you mean? God said, what are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? God said, didn't I tell you to leave? And I'm like, oh, you meant now. God said, yes, now. It's time to go. And so when I recognized that, it's like, I wasn't like, well, you know, I can birth the ministry and I can still birth. No. As soon as God said it's time to go, it's time to go. Because any assignment he tells me to release, I'm releasing. I remember when COVID came and everybody left the building. And when people started going back to the building, God said, you're not going back. I didn't be like, well, we can go back for a while and, you know, we could just do the online thing. No, when God said we're not going back, I'm like, okay, we're not going back. Because God said that assignment is over. When God told me my assignment was over in Virginia, I said, okay, we're done. See, because I'm not going to hold on to any assignment that God tells me to release. I'm not feeling any weight about it. I don't feel any burden about it because once God tells me I'm done, I'm done. Because I only answer to him. He called me to this, not myself. So I'm not trying to design or carry my own race. You got to stop carrying responsibilities he's never told you to pick up. So many of you are struggling because you're trying to save your family. You're trying to save your friends. I didn't tell you don't pray for them. I didn't tell you don't care about them. I didn't tell you don't love them, but they're not your ministry. If God did not specifically assign them to you, they are not yours. The Bible says, Paul planted, Apollos watered, Jesus added the increase. Your job may have only been to plant. Your job may only be to water. But you do your assignment and keep it moving because they're not your responsibility. You trying to take it upon yourself because they're not growing or they're not moving and because they're not latching on. That's not your responsibility. And see, you're wondering why you're exhausted because you're carrying stuff that you were never meant to carry. You're not tired from running. You're tired from carrying. Carrying stuff God never told you to carry. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I had to let go of what was behind me and move forward into what God has for me. Oh, you got to get this. If you don't drop the weight, you will drop the assignment. Yeah, you might want to write that down. See, you carrying stuff you were never meant to carry. And you can't carry those things and carry your assignment. So if you don't drop the weight, you will drop the assignment. See, that's why a whole lot of people are quitting because they're carrying stuff that they were never meant to carry. So they don't have the endurance to carry the weight that they're supposed to be. See, it says run with patience. See, this is an endurance race. That word patience means endurance. This is not a sprint. This is not about how fast you grow a church. I get so tired of seeing these internet ads about multiplying your church and growing your church fast and how fast your platform expands and how fast people recognize you. That was never my assignment. I told you, the Bible says, Paul plants, Apollos water, Jesus has the increase. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men. Last I checked, God's job is growing the church. God's job is increasing. God's job is multiplication. My job is glorifying him. That's the only assignment I have, is to glorify him, to do what he tells me to do. See, this is about whether you can still be standing years later. Not about how fast, but whether or not you can last. You got to get that. Because if you don't, you won't be here. I'm telling you, I've been doing this for 23 years. And when I started, I had a lot more hair, but I didn't lose my hair behind this. That was genetics. When I started, my beard was black. It didn't turn gray behind this. That's age. I'm telling you, you better get it. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." God gave me a word for Dr. Williams on yesterday, and that was the exact scripture he gave me. He said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." See, that's why they're walking into their harvest now, because they did not grow weary. They didn't quit. They didn't get tired. They kept running their race with endurance. They didn't faint. And that's why they're reaping now. That's why they're seeing harvest now. Simply because they endured. They ran their race. See, they won't sit around going, "Why everybody else got a building? We still got to set up." No, they just came in faithfully every week and set up. They fixed their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith. They kept their focus where it was supposed to be, not the next man. That's how they were able to endure. That's how they did not grow weary or lose heart. They kept their eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. He's the one that began. The Bible says, "He who began a good work in you shall bring it to completion." God said, "If I started this thing, I'm going to finish this thing." So that's why you don't have to worry about fainting. You don't have to worry about quitting. You don't have to worry about this thing not working out if you stay focused. Notice the condition. You will only reap if you don't quit. See, God didn't call you to be flashy. He called you to be faithful. See, too many of us, we worried about who's going to see us, how it's going to look. See, one thing about it, Dr. Williams, he wasn't worried about everybody like, "Hey, how long you been doing this? You still over there in Hawaii?" Yeah. God said, "Look at you. And every week, you bringing me glory right here in the Y. And that's why I'm going to bless you, because of faithfulness." See, you can only reap if you don't quit, because you persevere. I told you, you got to fix your eyes. You got to stay locked on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, because whatever you look at shapes how you run. It literally defines how you run this race. Let me say that again. Your focus determines your endurance. Watch this. Some of you got distracted by criticism. Some of you got distracted by numbers. Some of you got distracted by comparison. You looking at social media. You looking at, you listening to conversation. You listening to the whispers. Some of you got distracted by who left your church. And you started sinking. Like Peter, you were walking on water when you started, but you started sinking as soon as you got distracted. Not because the call changed, but because your focus did. The Bible says he told Peter to come. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he literally walked on water and came to Jesus. But when the wind started blowing, he was afraid and began to sink. He literally walked on water until he looked at the wrong thing. See, distraction will become your downfall. Distraction can literally become your destruction. See, you don't lose because of opposition. You lose because of misplaced focus. Watch this. See, one thing you got to recognize with this race, you should expect resistance, but don't quit. See, this thing is not going to be easy. If that's what you were expecting, you signed up in the wrong place. You should have just turned down, refused the call, rejected it, told the Lord, sorry, but no. If you didn't think this was coming with some resistance. See, the Bible says, for consider him says, consider him who endured sinful man. Lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. See, you got to look at him and what he went through before you start talking about quitting. He was talked about. He was lied on. He was betrayed. He was rejected. He was stabbed. He was spat on. He was put a crown of thorns on his head. He had nails pierced in his hand. He was ridiculed. And he still finished his assignment. He didn't quit. So before you start talking about quitting, you need to consider him who endured sinful men. Lest you become weary and faint in your mind. For you make up your mind that it's okay to quit. See, you got to be like Paul. Paul says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. See, you got to recognize that that's the ultimate goal. To finish the race. It's not popularity, it's completion. See, the question is always going to be, can you still preach when you're discouraged? Can you still lead even when you misunderstood? Can you still obey when ain't nobody clapping? Because that's what God wants to know. Can you run the race even when it gets hard? And that's why it's important to stay in your lane. See, because your grace is your race. Watch this. I heard Apostle Steve Haupt was preaching a word. That's Apostle Wagner's pastor. preach a word the other day, and he said something, and I thought it was so powerful. He said, people be asking me all the time, he said, am I tired? No, I ain't tired. He said, I'm anointed for this. He said, see, you got to recognize this looks like a lot for you because you don't have the anointing for this. And see, that's the problem. See, you have been anointed for what God assigned you to do. Somebody else has been anointed for what they've been assigned to do. And that's the problem when you're looking at somebody else's race. See, they've been given a grace to run their race. You've been given a grace to run your race. So if you're trying to run somebody else's race with your grace, you're going to have a problem. That's why you got to stay in your lane. Second Corinthians chapter 10 says, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us. See, God gives a measure, a lane, and a race. See, he gives you a measure of grace for a particular lane so that you can run a particular race. So, when you see somebody else doing something and you like, ooh, I want to do that, you haven't been graced to do that. And so now you're trying to run somebody else's race. And so now you've gotten out of your lane. Because he's anointed you to do this, but you thought this was sexier. You thought this was more popular. You thought this is flashier. You thought this made you look better. This looked like more fun. But you're not graced for that. But he gives you grace for the race. But if you step out of your lane, you step out of your grace. That's why it's important to understand. So, what I need you to get is this. Young man, pastor, leader, when it gets hard, run your race. When people walk away, run your race. When the vision feels heavier than your strength, run your race. When you feel overlooked, run your race. See, you got to say it to yourself. I will run my race. I will not quit. I will finish strong. You got to look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself, I will run my race. I will not quit. And I will finish strong. Because like David, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I told you, if he started it, he'll finish it. The Bible says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So if God called you, he'll sustain you. But you got to do your part. You've got to make sure that you stick to the assignment he gave you. You got to stay in your lane. You got to run your race. You got to stay focused. Stay focused on Christ. Stop worrying about what the guy up the street's doing. Stop worrying about how fast they're growing. Stop worrying about the fact that they got a building and you don't. Stop worrying about how many people are coming. Stop worrying about who's supporting them. Worry about the fact that the God who called you is pleased with you. And you're doing what he told you to do. That should be your only concern. So that on that great day, you'll hear the Father say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you master over many." See, you got to make up in your mind, I'm sold out for this. See, every time you stand up to teach a word, preach a word, you got to know you're preaching for an audience of one. Everybody else just gets the chance to eavesdrop. That's the only purpose I do this. I do this for him. Everybody else don't matter. So as long as he's pleased, y'all will be all right. Because I'm doing what he told me to do. That has to become your mentality. Once it does, you won't worry about quitting. You'll find your strength renewed because you'll be doing what he's already graced you to do. It'll become sweatless because I'm only doing what he told me. And what he told me, he graced me to do. It's easy. Amen. God bless you this evening. I pray this word has blessed you. I pray it encouraged you. Because we see too many pastors out here quitting way before their time because they've gotten distracted, because they've gotten off course. And if you've gotten off course, trust me, you can turn back around. Just repent. Tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm sorry. I missed it. I got caught up. I need to focus." Turn off the distractions. Turn off the social media. Stop looking to the left, to the right. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Say, "God, where are we going today? What would you have me to do?" And do exactly that. And every day you do that, trust me, you'll get stronger. You'll get stronger. You'll get stronger. And before you know it, you'll be in there 5 years. You've been there 10 years. You've been there 20 years. Because I'll be doing exactly what he told me to do. And every day that I do, he gives me strength to keep doing it. But God bless you. I love you. If you've been blessed by this message or any message here on My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can do so by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or you can go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. Just know that your gifts are going to help us continue to run our race, to do the things that God has called us to do. God has given us an assignment to make sure that there's quality faith-based teaching in the earth, that we are pushing forth the kingdom agenda to make sure that believers are strengthened, that they have all of the material that they need to grow, to enhance their discipleship walk. And so this is what we do. We have every Sunday morning, we have 3 different opportunities to worship. Starting at 8 a.m. with Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Then at 10 a.m. with Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. Then at 12:30 with The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. Then, of course, we've got Leadership Academy. We've got Women of Worth. We've got The Man Cave, Marriage Seer Training, The Heart of the Pastor. Then every Tuesday, we've got Medicine for the Mind. We've even got Christian-based comedy with My Church Laughs. But we've got all kinds of faith-based content to help you grow, to walk this thing out so that you don't have to just go from Sunday to Wednesday to Sunday. We've got all of the stuff to help you fill in between, to help you grow, to become a better believer for the branch of Zion that God has equipped you and planted you in. But God bless you. We love you. We pray that this bless you. And so, in any event, we ask you to share this word with somebody you know who needs it, because you know somebody who could benefit from this message. But God bless you. Come back and see us again on next time, and stay tuned for our announcements. I'm Pastor Tuck. This has been Leadership Academy, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church On The Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.